Welcome to part two of our conversation with Beth O'Brien. You said that you have assisted in an exorcism before. Tell me a little bit about the background of that case and how you came to become involved.
Well, a friend of mine, like in the paranormal world, I was on two paranormal investigation teams, but I'm a free agent because there's too much paranormal drama. So I will never be on another team, but I have a couple people, like two or three that I trust, and I'll help, you know, with them. They'll ask help or I'll ask for their help, or I'll do only investigations with people that I know and trust, you know, and do it the right way, you know, with, you know, no provoking, all that stuff, and be respectful. So I was on a paranormal team called South Jersey Ghost Research, and they had an SRT team, which is they had a Casper group investigation team and the more demonic cases team. Mm-hmm. So this one guy, he's a demonologist, and you know, he's kind of part of the couple people that I help out. And this one girl who was a friend of mine, she had become possessed, you know, so that's what they were telling me. And
what sort of things were going on with the individual that they believed she was possessed?
Say that again.
What sort of things were going on with the individual that led them to believe that she was possessed?
They said her eyes would turn black. She was just not herself. She was just irritated and just not herself. She was just acting weird. They said this was a while ago. And she just, her husband had, you know, saying she was just like, you know, acting out, like yelling and not herself, basically. Mm-hmm. So, and she was someone that was in the paranormal world too. So she used to do investigations also. Mm-hmm. And so we met at this one, my friend's shop, and the one man, his first name was Chris. He did the, he had the Bible and read in Latin and all that stuff. And I just held space. That was my purpose, and gave Reiki, because you can Reiki anything. And I did see her eyes turn black. She threw up. It was just real. You could tell it wasn't her. And it kept saying, I don't like you. I don't like you. And you can tell the voice was different. And the whole time I'm thinking, okay, this thing is going to possibly leave. And where's it going to go? You know? So it was a little scary for me. So I don't know if I would do another one of those, but
sure.
So then she actually threw up, and it took like five tries. We were there like till the wee hours of the morning. And then finally, like it just went, you know, they banished it back to the bottom of the river. I think they put it, that was only my first one. So I was a little inexperienced with that. And they told it to go back to where it came from, the bottom of the earth, the depths of the river. And she, you know, finally came out of it. So, but yeah, it was really scary for me. I'm like, okay, I don't know if I could, maybe I'll just stick to the Casper, the friendly ghost ones.
Sure. Well, I mean, it's one thing, you know, to talk about these things and hear stories and believe the stories. But I think it's another where you are right there, and then you are seeing a physical change in someone that is physiologically otherwise impossible to happen. I mean, there's nothing I can do or will myself to do other than, you know, breaking out the Ouija board and asking Satan or something to come in me that would have any odds of my eyes turning black. Aside from that, I don't know any way to do such a thing. And so that must be, what does that feel like when you're there? You believe these things exist, but then you're encountering it and you're seeing these physiological changes that cannot be explained. Throw up can be explained. Eyes turning black, not so much.
Yeah. I was scared to death. I literally saw, I just knew, I just kept pushing it, because when he said he didn't like me, whatever was in her, mm-hmm. I just kept saying, I was like, well, I love so-and-so. I like you. I'm, I, cause I was like, I don't care if you don't like me. I it's almost like I felt like I had to fight also, because I'm like, I kept, I was like, all right, this thing, whatever it is once it leaves her body, where's it going to go? I just had to like put, I had crosses on all my protection, whatever you believed in. And I had, you had, I just had to believe in my faith, you know, wholeheartedly, and just, you know, put that wall up and just kept pushing it away, doing the Reiki, because I'm a Reiki master. So I just push it out and mm-hmm. calling all the angels. It's scary. So I know they're real and they do exist, you know, and that's why I do feel like people just do dabble in the dark stuff and think, oh, that won't happen to me. That won't happen to me. Or they don't put their protection up when they go into a place that's really bad, or, you know, has a horrible history, you know, like I'm going to go horror house or something like that. Mm-hmm. That would probably be one that I wouldn't even know if I would go in, to be honest with you, because when I go on cases, I kind of remote view. And if it's something, or a personal house, something that bad, I won't even be able to get to the door. I will turn around and I will not go to that place.
Have you ever been, I mean, obviously that was a very traumatic situation of seeing someone do the exorcism. You knew that it was coming, but then actually experiencing it. Have you been in situations like that where you have gone to a place or began talking with a family or something or someone, and you realized this is beyond me. This is pretty dark.
Yeah, there was a one case that we went out to the house. And I think there was a high EMF, though, in the house, like really, really, really high. We've kind of figured it out, but we weren't sure, because the person was just like, as we were looking around, you know, you go to room, you know, you check for EMFs, you check for all that stuff, see with the wiring and all that stuff. And he, the whole time we were in there, he was getting really, really agitated, couldn't sit still, was almost like sweating, like, well, like, what are you guys doing here, you know? So it's very important that when we do that, or when we go to those places, to find out what the hell's going on. So you have to really be experienced, you know. But that was a scary situation, because we thought it was the person, you know, that needed it, but here was more high of EMFs. So that was like the only one that I went to that was a little freaky. Trying to see if there's, think of another one, but that was a little scary, because I really thought that this guy, kid, whatever he was, needed a exorcism.
And it was high EMF. Yeah. So how was that affecting him? And was just the solution simply taking him out of that environment?
Well, EMFs, you can see, if you're sensitive to it, you can see stuff. You can see illusions. You could hallucinate. You could, sure. You can have skin rashes, all kinds of things. Mental, mm-hmm. it can make you mental issues.
Sure.
If you don't get it fixed, if it's that high.
And I guess my question, obviously, I'm aware that my question would be, is that literally something that's, you know, your brain is chemically being affected and you are simply hallucinating? This is something that is physiological explainable? Or is it sometimes, can the EMFs essentially open a door to things and you're picking up on things you otherwise wouldn't be?
Yes, it can be a combination. I feel like it can bring spirit. It can bring stuff through, like almost open a portal, you know, if it's that high. Because when you think about when you can connect with spirit, or spirit is trying to get in contact with you, or an entity or whatever it is, you have to like higher your vibration. And everything is like, it's in your imagination, but it's not your imagination. You know what I'm saying? So everything is up there in your third eye and your crown chakra and all that stuff. So if the EMFs can make you feel like that and higher your vibration so that you can connect, then it can open. I believe it can open stuff and bring negative stuff in, because you're like open. You know what I mean? Like, does that make sense? I know it's hard to explain, but you're almost like it opens you up to things. I believe, because that's where the first thing you're in your third eye. That's when you first start to see and sense and feel spirit, is your third eye. And it is, they put pictures and that and spirits, and that's how they show you. They'll put that in your third eye so that, you know, you're like, okay, this isn't me, this is something else, if I'm seeing something else or someone else. So if EMFs can cause you to hallucinate, drugs can cause you to hallucinate, psych sure. drugs, all them things, you know. So maybe, and if you're sensitive, he was already sensitive enough, but, you know, it could bring it on way too fast, and it could just, I think, make things worse, especially if you're sensitive, if you're an empath, if you're intuitive, mm-hmm. it can make it worse, I think.
Sure. Having had all those paranormal experiences as a child and having them dismissed by your mother, and you being a mom, did you ever notice, do any of your children have the abilities that you have?
Yes, especially my son is sensitive. My daughter, she's 33, but as a child, she would see, it's called the black man. He wears a black hat and a black cape. And he would be at the in her doorway, and she would have a pet imaginary dog that I think his name was Skippy, that we would have to pet him, act like we were petting him. But she seals and senses things, and she gets a bad feeling when something is wrong in the family or something's going to happen. She's also sensitive like that. So, but yeah, it is passed down through generation to generation. Yeah.
Does it make you wonder at all if the adverse reaction that your mother had to all this, could that have possibly been sometimes she's aware that she has something too, but she can't explain it, and it's too scary to face, that they sometimes people just become so, you know, ambivalent about it that rather than digging in and accepting or even looking at it, they just, no, not real, end of story.
Oh, yes. That same house growing up in Tabernacle, my mom saw a full headdress Native American chief in her room, and she was paralyzed and couldn't move.
So her way of dealing with it was simply just, we're going to pretend this isn't existing.
Yeah, it wasn't talked about back then. And she probably has it too, but she's just very negative about everything. And just, she chose not. And I think my grandmom had it too.
Yeah.
And that, you know, they didn't talk about it back then. That was it wasn't talked about. And, you know, so you just didn't know anything about it, really.
Are you, as a mother, are you happy that your children seem to have these abilities, or would you rather it be that maybe life would be easier without having all these extra things, with all the just current normal things of life that we have to deal with?
Yeah, you know what? It's a lot. And you know what? It doesn't bother me because, you know, to me, they're gifts from the divine. So it does, as long as they, but I want them to, you know, enjoy life too. And, you know, not because you constantly, like I constantly have to ground myself, cut cords. I'm tired a lot of the times. So I want them, I'd rather have them know about it and be educated about it and know what they, you know, have to do and what they need to do, you know. And, you know, if they want to stay away from it, they can, if, you know, but to still live their life and make sure they know how to rest and, you know, recharge their energy and all that stuff.
That wraps up part two of our conversation with Beth O'Brien. A big thank you to her for being on the program today, and a thank you to you for supporting the program, keeping us on the air. We could not do this without you. Until next time, for all of us at The Grave Talks, I'm Tony Bruschi. Thanks for your support.